Holy God, faithful and true, the source of light and love, who does not despise the little ones, forget about the lost, or leave us comfortless. Give us grace to hear your word and act in the ways of Jesus, that your light and life may be seen in each of us. Amen. Today's reading from Matthew's Gospel comes after Jesus' parable of the lost sheep and the question about who is the greatest in the kingdom of God. Notice that Jesus in both refers to little ones. In verse 6 of chapter 18, "But if you cause one of these little ones who trusts in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea." And in verse 14, "In the same way, it is not my heavenly Father's will that even one of these little ones should perish." It should be no surprise to us then that there might be a connection between the questions being raised in verses 15 to 18 just read to us, nor for that matter the verses which follow about forgiveness from verse 21. I don't think Jesus was meant to be understood as being formulaic, like that familiar police caution we've all heard on TV. You do not have to say anything, but it may harm your defense if you do not mention when questioned something which later you rely on in court. Anything you do say may be given in evidence. Or, in other words, follow these steps in Matthew and you'll have done all that could be asked of you concerning a brother who sins. Here, Jesus addresses how we handle those struggles that inevitably arise when we're learning to be more like Christ. When, as human beings, we rub shoulders with one another in church, for none of us has yet to complete the race, nor completed that transformation that the Spirit began in us. So when you notice an issue in another, first talk to your brother, then take one or two others along, and finally bring him before the whole church. On the one hand, this escalation surely sounds like hyperbole, and that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, more like a cautionary warning about the seriousness of how we deal with one another. On the other hand, there is rightness about admonishing one another privately, that we might be encouraged to live our lives following Jesus as his disciples, taking care to preserve one another's dignity and standing within the community of the church, and being prepared to receive admonition from a brother or a sister in Christ, so that our lives might be shaped by the cross, as we thought about last Sunday. It's only when a brother or sister refuses the compassionate help of another that we may take one or two others with us, maybe from our small group, and sit down together and express our concern and offer help. Only then, if all help is refused, are we faced with the last step of exercising discipline, which dissociates the person who willfully chooses a path of sin from the fellowship of those who follow Christ. We should take note, firstly, that this step is rarely reached because mercy is the divine characteristic, but also ask ourselves, has the church failed to recognize the seriousness of sin and not exercise this step so that others are in peril? Finally, Jesus speaks about all of this being framed with prayer. "I tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you." For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them." Our actions towards one another are meant to raise up the little ones, seek out the lost ones. When adults do not live their lives as Christians with integrity, except by the grace of God, many of the little ones are being lost. The earlier parable sets out our responsibilities to search them out and bring them home. But if when they come home, they simply find wolves in sheep's clothing, it would be better for us to have a millstone around our necks and be cast into the sea than see another little one lost. Jesus is looking for the same gracious example which he demonstrates. Peter's coming to Jesus about how many times he must forgive his brother who sins against him was met with the response, "You must forgive him time and time again, without number. And remember, if you are on the receipt of such generous forgiveness from God or from your brother, you are to demonstrate such mercy yourselves." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have welcomed us with open arms and restore our relationship with you through your Son Jesus. Help us to understand that you have given us one another to help and encourage, that we may live godly lives. Show us how to exercise our responsibility in love to our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we may learn together to receive encouragement from each other, to leave sin behind, and to follow you more closely. Amen.